Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams on this Monday, July 16th, filling in for Alex today. And we have a whirlwind of information to bring you today straight from the studios here in Austin, Texas. We've got a lot of great guests lined up for you today. We've got Jim Mars joining us at the bottom of this hour to discuss the UN Small Arms Treaty and the implications of that, and whether he thinks they can even try to pull that off in America, where the Second Amendment, of course, is written right into the Bill of Rights. That's going to be an interesting situation. So Jim Mars joins us to talk about that. Also, some news that has been breaking recently is the so-called Monsanto Protection Act. This is a legislative effort to grant Monsanto a type of immunity, and we'll get into more details on that later, concerning experimental genetically modified crops that are planted all across the country. We've got Daryl Rogers from Alliance for Natural Health joining us in the second hour for that segment. That's going to be, oh, wow, you're going to learn some things there that will absolutely blow your mind about corporate influence over the legislative process and the regulatory process in the United States. Of course, if you're a regular Alex Jones listener, you already know that America is experiencing sort of a runaway corporate fascist thug mafia government. So that's not a surprise to you, but some details that are going to be revealed here today will probably surprise you, even if you already know all that. So be sure to stay with us on the second hour. We've also got Ask Alex Jones segment coming up for the third hour. This is from planetinfowars.com. People are asking Alex questions, and he is working to answer them. 50 questions is his goal in this hour. I don't think he's going to quite make it to 50, but I'm sure he'll do a good job answering some questions. And if we have time right before that in the second hour, I'd like to take some calls and let you ask me some questions. A little impromptu Ask the Health Ranger section. That'll be in the second hour. So we've got all that coming up, plus a lot of news on drones. And we're going to get into the drone news right at the beginning of the next segment. But let me go over some of the breaking news that's just hitting the internet and hitting the airwaves today, because some of this, again, okay. Here we have from the Economic Collapse website, these 12, quote, hell holes are example of what the rest of America will look like soon. And it then goes on to quote 12 cities and towns, Gary, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan. I'm sure Chicago is in here somewhere as well. The murder rate is skyrocketing in Chicago as the citizens are completely disarmed and unable to defend themselves against predators who are, of course, armed criminal gangs. And sometimes just armed individuals who are willing to commit violent crimes against innocents that they know cannot protect themselves because of the disarmament system there in Chicago. Detroit, of course, has become a black hole of the economy. Nothing against people in Detroit, many great people living there. In fact, we've covered some of them in the past who've done amazing things, innovative things, courageous things, and so on. But as a whole, Detroit's economy, of course, has imploded for many, many years. The city is just a shadow of what it used to be. Services are being cut back. Even streetlights are being cut back in Detroit. And, of course, part of this is because of the socialist, more like communist, political agenda at the top of the country that is moving our jobs overseas on purpose, using, for example, billions of dollars of taxpayer money to ship jobs from General Motors over to China, thereby denying American workers access to what were decent paying jobs where you could actually, you know, live a decent life, tap into the American dream. But that's gone now. The American dream has been offshored. And in its place, we're going to have a drone surveilled police state, a monitoring of all your email, of everything you say on the telephone. We're going to have economic implosion. Now everybody's on food stamps instead of being able to have an honest job. It's all that, and it's getting crazier by the day. So we've got those reports and much more coming up straight ahead right here on the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, and we'll be right back after this break with all those details plus those interviews straight ahead. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Yeah, welcome to The Alex Jones Show. It is Monday, July 16th, 2012. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. We've got a whirlwind of news ahead to cover and some great interviews coming up as well. Of course, a lot always happening in the realm of liberty and the economic implosion of America. Before the break, we were just speaking about the 12, quote, hellholes, economic hellholes, are examples of what the rest of America will look like soon. This is an article out of The Economic Collapse. A very, very important article and a lot of warning signs of what's happening. But here's something else that's happening that I want to get into here. And, by the way, we've got Jim Mars coming up at the bottom of this hour to talk about the UN Small Arms Treaty. A great interview expected there with Mr. Mars right out of Texas as well. And, of course, we're coming to you today live from Austin, Texas, behind enemy lines, as the bumper often says. We've also got Daryl Rogers from the Alliance for Natural Health joining us in the second hour to discuss the so-called Monsanto Protection Act. And why is the government and these regulators like the FDA and the USDA in particular in this case, why do they continue to protect corporate interests instead of protecting the people? Aren't they supposed to regulate corporations so that the people are protected against, let's say, genetic pollution or dangerous pharmaceuticals or runaway chemical pollution of the rivers and the waterways and things like that? Why aren't they doing their jobs? Why are they always selling out to the corporations? We're going to talk about that in the second hour with Daryl Rogers from ANH-USA.org. That's a nonprofit focused on natural health and health freedom as well. Also, in the third hour today, we've got Alex Jones with his Ask Alex segment. That's from PlanetInfoWars.com. And he attempts to answer 50 questions posed by readers. And I say attempts because, you know, one of the curses of having so much knowledge, as Alex does, is that you start to answer one question, but it brings in all these details from all these other areas, and it becomes, you know, an in-depth explanation of the big picture. So that's why it's hard for Alex to just answer one question very briefly. He's got to actually bring in all his knowledge and all everything that he knows about it, and that could take time. So anyway, we'll see how many questions he does get to out of 50 in the third hour today. Also, by the way, plugging tomorrow, a great show lined up for you tomorrow right here on The Alex Jones Show. I'm hosting it again, doing a back-to-back hosting situation here, which is the first time I've ever done that for Alex Jones. Tomorrow we've got a major interview, a worldwide exclusive interview with a whistleblower, a key whistleblower deep inside one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to share too many details yet, but I promise you it will be an explosive interview with information that you've never heard on radio or the internet or anywhere. That's going to be a very hard-hitting interview, so make sure you tune in tomorrow for that. Now, getting to the news that's happening right now, I want to share something fun with you. I was walking around Austin, the city of Austin, yesterday, and I saw this stop sign. And for those of you watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you can see this. I'll explain it for those of you listening on the radio. It's a stop sign, a regular stop sign that you see on the road, but someone has painted in some very legible white paint underneath the word stop. They wrote the police state, and it's very visible. I've got a picture showing on the screen right now for those of you watching, and I just thought, isn't this great? You know, in Austin, there's this sort of just this vibe of people wanting freedom, people wanting to be free. And I know this is true all over the country in other cities. I know that many of those listening are out there putting posters up, are running website blogs and posting videos on YouTube and really just talking about freedom and liberty and why we shouldn't live in a society where we're monitored 24/7. We're supposed to have basic privacy. We're supposed to have basic free speech. We're supposed to have the rights to go protest without being arrested for it, by the way, without having to ask for permits from the king. Oh, please, king, can we beg you for a permit to go protest your policies? I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens in America, and it makes no sense. But along the lines of surveillance, here's what else is really happening right now. The drones. We've got major news for you here on the drones. Here's an article to lead this off. This is from EFF.org. The FAA has now released thousands of pages of drone records. And what they reveal is that drone flights in the United States are frequent, and these records reveal where they're flying, how long they are flying, how long they stay in the air. Their locations, the frequency, the 125 drone certificates and accompanying documents that says that the FAA released today total thousands of pages and were released in response to the EFF's Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. Now, what this shows is that drones are being deployed everywhere. I mean, all across the country, major cities and major universities. And we're going to bring you some information right now that is, there you go, there's a story up on the screen for those of you watching. I mean, this is information out of Texas A&M, Texas State University, Miami-Dade Police Department, Mississippi Department of Marine Resources, North Little Rock Police Department, Cornell University, and many, many more. University of Connecticut, for example. So I thought we need to take a serious look at what is the drone near future situation. I put together an analysis last night in anticipation of being here today, and I want to bring you this analysis because it's got a lot of important information. Now, I don't know if you can get a shot of this. We're going to talk about some drone protection fabrics. Right here on my left in the studio here is a Mylar space blanket. We're going to talk about why this might be useful to protect yourself from drones. You might say, why do we need to be protected from drones? What's that all about? Well, here's the deal. Drones, of course, are remote-controlled systems. The question is, who is controlling them? Now, if a local police department that respects the Constitution is controlling them, that's arguably not a bad thing. They can actually fight crime, help keep the peace, and so on. But what about if the U.S. military is controlling them and using them against civilian populations in the United States? Even worse, what if they get hacked by China, for example? We know that the Chinese government has invested literally billions of dollars in hacking resources. They even have a hacking university where they train the top, the brightest students in computer malware development, social engineering that leads to hacking, you know, discovery of passwords and things like that. And of course, there's the Stuxnet and the Flame virus that was co-developed by the United States and Israel, according to reports, that is very advanced, very advanced. What if China got its hands on that kind of code or something similar? The question is, could the drones, let's say there's 5,000 drones flying above U.S. cities on any given day in the next 5 years, and that's not out of the realm of what could really happen, even based on what the FAA has approved, by the way. I think they approved something like laws that would allow 30,000 drones to be deployed across the country. So what if there are thousands of drones that are flying over the United States? And what if some of them are armed? Because now Raytheon is working on a small missile, sort of like a small Hellfire missile that can be carried and deployed by the drones. And it's a self-guided missile. It locks on target. It's got its own navigation system. It's got its own cameras. It's got its own guidance systems, its own propellant, and so on. So a drone can fly into any area and then launch a missile onto a target, whatever target is selected by the drone operator. So again, what if the drone operator becomes a hacker group from China or North Korea, theoretically? Or what if it's a rogue group of hackers from anywhere that just takes it over because the security is so bad? Now, you might say this could never happen, but you'd be wrong because, of course, Iran already used a GPS spoofing attack to intercept the navigation of a U.S. drone. I believe that was a Predator drone, and to land it on a runway in Iran where they then took possession of that technology and began to take it apart and decode it and try to figure it out. That was a simple GPS spoof. And recently in Texas, I don't know which university, I think it was just a Texas State University. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a university in Texas recently, I think just 2 months ago, also did a spoofing attack exercise to show that you could spoof the drone and make it land wherever you want it to land or make it fly wherever you want it to fly. So we know that these drones can be taken over by hackers or a ground-deployed spoofing force. And why does this matter to you? And why do you need to know how to potentially protect yourself from drones? Because, again, what happens if we've got 5,000 drones in the sky, a foreign hacker group, or even a domestic enemy hacker group that just declares war on the American people decides to just unleash the drones on the people and unleash the small Hellfire type of missiles or deploy surveillance against the American people? How do you protect yourself against those drones? So in order to help answer that question, I put together some information here for you, talking about what the drone payloads could be and the surveillance payloads. Now, we know drones can have regular visible cameras, infrared cameras, which sense body heat, which means if you're walking around at night, you're going to be able to be picked up by these drones and targeted by them. Again, they could be in the hands. They could be controlled by a destructive force or an enemy force or a hacker force. They can deploy radiation sensors and microphone sensors. Now, in terms of payloads, here are the drone payloads that we, I think, are going to see in the next few years. Number one, miniature missiles that can just target individuals, vehicles, or structures, buildings, for example. And this article, by the way, this is on naturalnews.com right now. I don't know yet if it's up on Infowars.com. Probably will be soon if it's not already. Drones can also have high explosive satchel payloads where they simply drop the satchel, it explodes on contact. Drones can have radioactive dirty bomb payloads. This is easy for them to do. They just get a bunch of radioactive dust, which can be collected from a variety of sources. I'm not going to give out the details because I don't want to encourage anybody to try this. It's very dangerous, obviously. And only a true terrorist would try to do something like this, or someone trying to set up a terror type of event for whatever reason they might have in mind. But they could drop radioactive dust on a city at a medium altitude and create just a total chaos in that city. And that would be a terrible situation to see happen. Drones can also have self-destruction bombs where if they are captured or if control is lost, they can self-destruct. So evading these drones is going to be crucial. Now, right after this break, when we come back, I'm going to give you some tactics and techniques to evade drones. And this is a skill that all of us may need to use someday if we want to stay alive if these drones get taken over by bad people. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Stay right with us here on The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back after this break. Terminator music, which is very appropriate today as we are discussing ways to avoid the rise of the machines. In other words, to protect yourself from the drones. You know, it turns out that the rise of the machines depicted in the original Terminator movies is pretty accurate, except they're not going to be bipedal machines, that is, machines running around on the ground with legs. They're going to be flying machines. It turns out it's a lot easier to automate navigation of the air than it is the ground. The ground, you know, ground is very complex. If you've ever looked into robotics, navigating the ground is very complex. But the drones are very easy to deploy in both the ocean, because water is an easy medium into which drones can navigate, and the air. And so you're going to see Navy drones, and you're going to see a lot of then, of course, airborne drones, which we're already starting to see, and they're going to be weaponized very soon. Raytheon, again, is already tested and is about to make available a small missile system that will be carried by drones and will be able to be fired. And of course, the Predators already fire certain types of weapons, but we're talking about domestic drones being able to carry weapons, including potentially small arms fire. You know, can you imagine your local police department having a drone that can peer into your windows and fire, you know, 223 rounds into your into your bedroom if they think you're cooking meth or something? I mean, what if they get the wrong address? How many times do they raid the wrong house? Anyway, we are talking here on The Alex Jones Show. And by the way, thank you for joining us. Got a lot of great interviews coming up just straight ahead. And this is Mike Adams filling in case you're wondering, where's Alex? You know, he'll be back, of course, but I'm filling in for him today and tomorrow. But now getting to drone defenses, this is critical. During the daylight, you're going to want to use, of course, and again, let me set the context here, okay? This is if the drones get taken over by bad people, which could be a foreign government with a hack attack. It could be a rogue element of an existing government. It could be who knows what, somebody trying to set up a false flag attack somewhere and use a drone to make something happen. Whatever the case may be, you may find yourself in a situation where you need to avoid the drones in order to stay safe, protect your family, protect your community, protect your liberty, and so on. To do that, first, let's start with the visual element right here. And I brought this. This is an ATACS pattern camo. And the reason that this matters for drone protection, and the pattern is called ATACS, or Advanced Tactical, A-TACS. And the company, this is a licensed trademark pattern. And it's, you'll see it deployed on a lot of you know, military uniforms and things like that these days. This pattern is a fractal pattern, which is a pattern within a pattern, which means that even when you look at it up close, you guys get a shot of it there. For those of you listening on the radio, you can check this out on prisonplanet.tv and see what I'm talking about. This is a pattern within a pattern, which means if you zoom in and look at it closely, it still looks like camo. The image is kind of blurry, but even from a long ways away, zoomed out, it still has a larger fractal pattern that confuses vision recognition systems of automated drones. Now, I did a little bit of work in my history, not even going to go into the detail, but I have a technology background, as many of you know, from the software industry, and I did a little bit of work in vision recognition systems. Now, vision recognition systems look to find edges. And for example, vision recognition system is going to try to find a straight line, a square corner, an obvious shape like a circle, like the edge of a person's hat or the edge of a person's head, for example, sharp contrast between colors, things like that. This kind of pattern, this ATAX pattern, confuses vision recognition systems because they can't find any edges in it. So this kind of pattern or netting over vehicles and things like that can protect you from being seen by a drone that might be controlled by bad people with bad intent. Now, moving on to nighttime drones, we've got this. Show and tell time here on the Alex Jones Show. This is a, you can probably hear this on the radio. This is a Mylar space blanket or what's called a thermal blanket. And these are available in camping kits and survival kits. These block infrared light, which is a non-visible spectrum, of course, and because of that, they keep the heat inside your body. One of the ways your body loses a lot of heat is by radiating infrared wavelengths. So this Mylar space blanket can keep those in so that you're reflecting heat back to yourself, which is why they're useful on a cold night or as an emergency blanket. They're also great for preventing you from being seen by infrared or thermal imaging systems. And I've tested this and it works great. You simply make a poncho out of it or you sew it into another poncho that you can drape over your body. And then you can no longer be seen by thermal cameras. This is like camo against the Terminator is what it is. And they're real cheap. I think you can get them sometimes for $2 and you have to sew them in yourself. They're not real durable, but if you have a little bit of sewing skill, you can sew them in. Also, practice light discipline. If you turn on a flashlight at night, you're going to be seen, because the light sensitivity of these drone cameras is very, very high. So those are some of the techniques that you can use to keep yourself safe from drones controlled by bad people. Now we'll be right back with Jim Mars.
We're on the march. Much more. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. The answer to 1984. Is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, during the break, we made a Mylar thermal blanket poncho for a little police figurine guy here, and we're showing that on camera right now. There he is. Look at that. He's got his anti-drone Terminator countermeasure poncho. That's on screen at prisonplanet.tv. You can't miss this stuff, folks. If you're listening on the radio, you gotta get the archive videos later by becoming a prisonplanet.tv member. You know, the props are just priceless here, I gotta tell you. This was literally running around the office with a pair of scissors, which apparently is dangerous, I think. There's probably a health agency that's going to cite us for doing that here at the Alex Jones Studios. All right, all comedy aside, because we always have to have that element here, next is a very, definitely not a funny issue, which is the, which is the UN Small Arms Treaty, and we've got Jim Mars joining us by phone. He's the author of numerous books, including a book that should have been called A Zombie Nation, but instead it was, I'll let Jim tell you the story. But he joins us right now by phone to chime in on the UN Treaty, the Small Arms Treaty. And Jim Mars, one of my favorite guests to have on, knows so much about these realms and the whole history of the attacks on liberty and freedom. He joins us right now by phone. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, it's great to have you on. I always love having you on the show. What's on your mind these days? What's on your radar screen, so to speak?
Well, I am finishing up the editing on my new book, which should be out after the first of the year, called Our Occulted History.
Occulted history?
Yeah. Now, just so everybody understands, I think one of the first sentences in the book says, now, let's get this straight. This book is not about werewolves, vampires, or devil worshippers, okay? I'm using the word occulted in the astronomical sense. When the moon eclipses the sun, that's called an occultation.
Ah.
And it simply means hidden or masked. So it's, what is our hidden history? What has been hidden from us? And I think it's going to be a real eye-opening read to a lot of people.
Absolutely. I do want to recommend your other books, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy and, of course, Rise of the Fourth Reich. Your books are just extremely well-documented, Jim. I mean, extremely well-documented. You are one of the best investigative journalists out there today, and I really enjoy your books. But let's get right into... I'm sorry?
Well, I was just going to say, and I think people need to understand, if you really want to be an educated person, forget the newspapers and the TV. They're all owned, controlled by one of about five major corporations that have interlocking directorships. So in other words, a handful of people are controlling everything you see and hear. If you really want to know what's going on, read major books, okay? And the reason I say this is we haven't got time, and you wouldn't even want to hear how many hoops I have to jump through just to get something published by a major publisher.
Believe you.
They have nitpicking editors, and they have legal staffs that go through it with a fine-tooth comb. How do you know this? How do you know that? Have you got more than one source? Can you prove this? Can you prove that? Okay? But that's good, because when you read a major book from a major publisher, and it's got an index, it's got footnotes, then you know that it's been gone over by a number of people, and you're probably getting the straight stuff.
Yeah.
There are a number of websites now that tout, send us your press release, and we'll make sure it gets to the whole media. I could name off for you, but you know what I'm talking about, Mike, right?
Oh, yeah, and most of the time the media just rewrites the corporate press releases, slaps their own name on it, and releases it as factual news without checking a single fact.
That was my point. I was reading the other day a fellow who works for one of these outfits, and he says it used to be that they would at least rewrite these press releases that come in from corporations and companies. He said, but he's noticing lately that he sees his own press releases, and he knows they're his because he wrote them, and they're in his words, and they're just being repeated by the so-called news media.
Word for word, it is absolutely incredible. But that's how we get news on the TV of things like mercury and vaccines is good for your children. Didn't you know? It boosts their immune system. We should have more mercury.
Yeah, a little aspartame won't hurt you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Some of the stuff is probably true. Like a little aspartame might not hurt you, but the problem is it's cumulative. It just keeps building up your system until your system's just fried.
Well, sure. I mean, there's so many myths out there that the mainstream media pushes. And by the way, we're going to get to this UN treaty in just a second, but I have a comment here. You know, one of the myths is that war is great for the economy. It's great. So, you know, I always say to people who and a lot of people believe that, people who are smart enough to know better, I always say to them, well, great, then why don't we just bomb all our own cities and we'll experience total abundance by rebuilding them?
Hey, that's true. That's true. It'd be an instant urban renewal program.
Yeah.
So you start with some cluster bombs and cutter charges, and then you go in and you start rebuilding everything.
Yeah. It's just such a fallacy. But let's get to the big issue today. The UN.
The big arms thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just, for one thing, I'm sure your listeners are probably well aware of this small arms treaty and the fact that they're still negotiating up in New York. But I can guarantee you that just like City Hall, when they have a city council meeting and they come out and they say, we've approved this, we haven't approved that, we're looking into this. That's all been done ahead of time, okay?
Sure.
So the real negotiations going on behind the scenes somewhere. And but anyway, I'm sure that you and your listeners are pretty well aware of what's happening and why. But let's talk about anything. It only talks about it. They're only trying to curb the illegal international arms trade, whatever that means.
Right, that's the cover story. It won't affect law-abiding firearms owners.
Right. And the thing is, at one level, and in technicality, that may be true, okay? But this is just another foot in the door. Have we all forgotten when they first came up with NAFTA, okay, Free Trade Association, and they're going, oh, it'll be good for business, and it'll be good for jobs, and it's not going to be any big deal, and yada, yada, and they ran that on through. And now, and of course, there was a handful of voices, such as Ross Perot, who's saying there's going to be a giant sucking sound, and all the jobs are going to Mexico and heading south, you know.
Yes.
And everybody said, oh, what a conspiracy theorist, you know, what a paranoid. Well, turns out he's true.
He was right.
He was absolutely right. And this is the same thing. This is just another foot in the door. Oh, it's not a big deal. Well, right now it's not. But then another year or two. And I mean, first off, you go back and you find out that the Republicans, and during the time of the George W. Bush administration back to up till 2009, they said, no, we don't want any part of this. This is infringing on our sovereignty, and that it will eventually, emasculate the Second Amendment. No, it was Hillary Clinton and Obama in 2009 that said, we'll talk, you know. And I think to give them, you know, all due credit and to try to lean towards their side as much as I can, they may have thought that, well, we'll go ahead and participate with this, and that way if we're participating in it, we can help guide it and we can help see to it that, nothing too untoward happens. But of course, I think you and I both know. That's not it.
Well, their intentions are to disarm the public.
Exactly.
In fact, every world government says, if you really ask them, if they answer honestly, often behind closed doors, that private ownership of firearms is a threat to the domination and the monopolization of power of that nation's government. They
exactly.
don't want anybody to be armed.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And in fact, this is now the biggest stumbling block to the plan for a new world order. Is the fact that so many Americans have guns. But I'll tell you something. Here's what's really dark about all this, is that what it's going to lead to is violence. And it's going to lead to perhaps even civil war.
You mean if they try to actually take away?
Yeah, if they try to implement it, you know,
yeah.
That's when people are going to hunker down. I know right here in Texas, and you know as well as I do, there are people here in Texas, when they come to take their guns, there's going to be firefights. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be Waco to the 20th power.
But what about the foreign troops issue? So a lot of people think, well, U.S. troops and U.S. National Guard won't engage in that, and there's a lot of evidence that at least half of the people won't. But
right.
the foreign troops would do it.
Foreign troops in this country right now.
Right. Right.
What happened to the East German Army? Okay. When communism collapsed, did they just all go home? No, they were still in the army. A lot of them came over here. They're in New Mexico. What about Russian Spetsnaz troops? They're over here, too.
But how many troops are really here? I've never seen personally reliable figures on how many are here. I mean, it would take millions at some point, it would seem like.
No, it wouldn't take millions. All they got to do is just corral the big cities. And that's why if armed violence does take place, I see it the urban centers versus the suburban and rural areas. And that's why they're making all this preparation to turn the cities into concentration camps, essentially. Homeland Security's coming around and funneling money, billions, to the state and to the transportation departments to put in traffic lights where there used to be a four-way stop sign.
Well, and don't forget the DHS bulletproof checkpoint booths and all the hollow point ammo and all that.
And, you know, you say, oh, that's good. We got a new traffic light here. But if you look, you also got RFID chip readers and cameras and facial recognition software. It's all accompanying that, okay?
Well,
so that you're not going to be able to go two blocks from your home without them knowing where you are and what you're doing.
Also, Jim, in Texas, they're stringing up all these cables in between the median of the highway so you can't turn around if you
exactly.
come up on a checkpoint.
Exactly.
That's going in all over the place.
And all you got to do is ask yourself, hey, wait a minute, government's broke, half the people are broke, everybody's hurting for money. Why are they spending these millions and millions and millions of dollars to putting up these steel cables and concrete dividers so that you can't turn around on the freeway.
Yeah, that's a good...
I don't know about you, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't noticed a huge problem with people trying to make a U-turn in a freeway.
No, I've never seen it happen, even in the areas where they're putting up the cables. Let me ask you this. So Larry Bell from Forbes magazine recently wrote that this UN Small Arms Treaty, quote, if passed by the UN and ratified by our Senate, would almost certainly force the U.S. to do these following five things. And he lists five things. And of course, one of them is to ban the trade, sale, and ownership of all semi-automatic weapons, which is just basically every farmer's rifle and every pistol that is out there. Create an international gun registry, override national sovereignty, confiscate and destroy all unauthorized civilian firearms. I just can't imagine, Jim, this actually, I can't imagine anyone successfully doing this, at least not in Texas. They could probably get away with it in maybe Chicago, of course, or Massachusetts or places like that, but not in Arizona, not in Northern California, Oregon,
Montana.
Not in Montana, Wyoming, Florida, the whole Midwest.
Well,
I mean, come
saying.
On.
You know, people who think that, well, they'll pass this law and everybody just give up their guns, and the local cops will come around and say, okay, this is illegal now, so you have to give me all your guns. You know, no, that ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
It's going to happen. Okay, what's going to happen, though, is that they will use this to start a series of raids, just like they're doing on unprocessed milk, right?
Yes.
Milk, for God's sake.
Yes.
Okay? So if they get armed SWAT teams to go after milk farmers, do you think they're going to have any trouble sending them after somebody's got a big cache of guns? All right, and of course, the people go, oh, well, that's terrible, but, oh, well, I don't have, all I've got's a hunting rifle and a self-protection pistol. You know, they won't come after me. But when they start doing this, then, like you said, people in the states you mentioned, they're going to start buckling down. They're going to go, no, and I mean no, and there's going to be gunfights, and then there's going to be civil unrest.
But that's what they want. That's what Alex always explains. Right, they want that.
Then they can declare martial law, and all bets are off.
And then they can say it's the gun owners who are the terrorists. It's the gun owners who shot the police or the sheriff or whoever it was.
Oh, they shot Trayvon. Oh, my God. So take up everybody's gun.
But, you know.
And what they never point out is that Trayvon Martin, that story, that went all over the country. It's still being covered. And it just went on and on and on and on. And yet, since the first year, there have been thousands of people who have saved themselves and their property because they had a gun and they fought off a robber or an attacker.
Oh, absolutely.
But you never hear those stories. You never hear those stories.
No, and I can tell you from being in Central Texas and talking to ranchers and interviewing ranchers, you know, a rifle is a tool on a ranch.
Absolutely.
It's not a weapon. It is a tool. You can't raise chickens. You can't raise livestock without a rifle to protect them from predators. And then there's the whole property theft issue. A lot of ranches, they get equipment stolen. I mean, tractors, big equipment. And they need a rifle. They need a pistol. They need a shotgun as a tool of farming. If they give those things up, Jim, they're out of business. Their herds and flocks will be eaten by predators.
Exactly. And you're talking to the choir here because I live out in the country.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And I mean, a rifle is as necessary as a shovel.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the thing is, you can kill somebody with a shovel, can't you?
I suppose you could.
Oh, well, let's outlaw shovels then. You know, it's how stupid this whole thing is. It's just insane. And the thing is, the framers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they truly understood all this. That's why the Second Amendment has really nothing to do with hunting or sports shooting or target plunking. It has everything to do. All you got to do is read the Federalist Papers, read the thoughts, letters of those guys who framed the Constitution, and they said it is the right and the duty of the public to be armed so that they can resist a tyrannical government.
Exactly, but here's the thing I don't get. I want to ask you this. How on earth would anybody in the U.S. government go along with the U.N. telling us what to do on this? But I mean, I know the answer. For example, the World Trade Organization just banned the labeling of the country of origin for meat products in U.S. grocery stores. How did they do that? That's not a U.S.
Well, that's it.
action.
See, you say, how in the world could they do that? Listen, I've been at it long enough that 40 years ago, I would have bet you good money that about half the laws and half the policies and half the things we're doing today could not be done. And yet it's been done because people have been dumbed down. People have been cowed and they've been distracted by mass media. And they, in fact, and without getting too paranoid, there's even high-tech gadgetry, the HARP systems, the Gwin towers.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just...
They are actually using advanced technology to mess with our heads.
We were just talking about drones in the last segment, Jim. Will you stay with us for one more segment? I have more questions for you.
And
this is happening, folks.
Drone crash in Maryland.
All right, we'll talk about that. Stay with us right here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back with Jim Mars and much more straight ahead.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago.
All right, continuing here on this Monday on the Alex Jones Show, this is Mike Adams filling in. We're joined now by guest Jim Mars, author, researcher, observer of human history. And hey, Jim, do you have your Mylar space blanket poncho to be invisible to thermal imaging cameras on surveillance drones?
Actually, I do somewhere.
Yeah, you might have to whip that out someday. We have all kinds of interesting props here on the show. But
here's the thing. Yeah, you go back to late last year, and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office north of Houston announced that they were buying a $300,000 drone. They call it a Shadowhawk helicopter that had the capability of carrying weapons.
Okay? Yes.
Also carries a camera, heat-seeking device, and they said, oh, well, it's only going to be used for hunting criminals running from the police, you know, as well as drug investigations. See, if it's not protecting women and children, then it's to fight drugs.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Yes.
And critics immediately said, well, hey, this could prove a hazard to air traffic and possibly even the public on the ground, never mind the privacy considerations. And they said, oh, no, it'd be fine. And yet, early this year, they were going to test a police-only test in Montgomery County, and they lost control of their little drone. It smashed into their armored tank called the Bearcat. Okay, so now, but it gets worse, all right, because just last month, near Salisbury, Maryland, a full-scale Global Hawk drone belonging to the Navy. It's about $1.5 million worth crashed into a tributary of the Nanticoke River near Salisbury, Maryland. And they said, the Navy said, well, fatalities or injuries are, quote, unlikely. well, that's great. What happens if it crashes into a housing development?
Well, there's the article on screen for those watching. Yeah, Navy drone crashes. But, you know, Jim, I've seen footage of small drones, almost micro drones. This is the way they're really going for surveillance, is these little micro drones that can actually fly in formation. They can construct things like building almost Legos in cooperation. They can fly into your house, down the hallway, up the stairs, and they can transmit camera images live back to headquarters during all this. I mean, they can actually explore your entire house with a little multi-rotor micro drone. And that's happening today. That exists now.
That's off-the-shelf technology.
It is.
Well, here's my plan. Okay, if one of these things flies over my house, I'm going to grab a shotgun and just bring it down. If it comes into my house, I'm going to swat it with a lead fly swatter. And when they come and get upset about it, I'm going to say, well, I thought it was something, one of them Arabs, one of them terrorists I think this thing goes, hey, good Americans, we'd never spy on each other, would we? It's got to be an enemy device. So I just thought I was being patriotic, and I took it out.
There you go. Well, I mentioned, you know, one of the countermeasures is going to be what I call drone-seeking drones, where civilians can build drones that are designed to fly at high speed into the other drone and thereby bring them both down. Jim, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts to wrap it up?
Yeah, there's also this. A group of computer researchers at the University of Texas at Austin had $1,000 worth of computer parts, and they claimed they could hack into a government drone.
Yeah.
And Homeland Security Department officials prove it.
Well, and they did. Got to run, Jim. Thanks for being on the show, Jim. That's Jim Mars, everybody. Be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us today. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex. I'll also be hosting tomorrow. We've got a world-exclusive interview coming up tomorrow with a deep inside whistleblower of a major global pharmaceutical company. That's going to be big news, so you'll want to be sure to join us tomorrow. Coming up today on the Alex Jones Show, we've got the Ask Alex segment, where this is from planetinfowars.com, and Alex Jones answers questions that are posed by readers. And also, by the way, if we have time, I'd like to open up the phones for the second half of this hour and do a little bit of an Ask the Health Ranger section, or just take your calls, have a conversation about a few things. But coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Daryl Rogers from the Alliance for Natural Health, ANH-USA.org, to talk about the Monsanto Protection Act. But before that, let's go over some of the other headlines that are breaking today. The largest natural disaster in U.S. history, it says, the endless drought of 2012 will bake America well into August. Here's the statistic that is shocking about this. Right now, approximately 61% of the entire nation is experiencing drought conditions. And the USDA says that approximately 60% of all the corn in the country is experiencing moderate to extreme drought conditions. And if it doesn't end soon, the losses are going to be, quote, mind-blowing, says this story, endoftheamericandream.com. It's estimated that farmers and ranchers have suffered billions of dollars in damage. How much worse can things get? Well, it's interesting. A year ago, we had a drought in central Texas, very bad drought. It was worse than a 100-year drought. All the rain was happening in the Midwest. This year, it's the opposite. Texas is getting drenched, and the Midwest is dry as a bone. The drought is getting worse there all the time. Of course, I'm sure somebody like Mr. Al Gore is going to say, well, it must prove that global warming is real. I just think, you know, weather radicalization is a real issue, and it could be, you know, HAARP issues. It could be government messing with the environment, messing with the atmosphere, chemtrails, ionization technologies, many things like that as well. But definitely things are getting radical, and the food supply is going to be, well, let's just say you should get some stored food now. You really should, because food prices are going to go up, and food could become scarce, at least in the short term, especially corn. And corn is in everything, it seems like, in the grocery store. Hey, I wonder if most of those, I bet most of those crops are GMO corn crops. So I guess the headline could say GMO crops, two-thirds of GMOs are dying in the fields. That might not necessarily be such a bad thing. Maybe they should plant non-GMO and rebalance the ecosystem and the environment, bring the insects back, bring the trees back, and we would have actually reliable rain once again. That's something to think about. Next article, new ethanol blend fuel approved by the EPA can damage car engines, warns a group. But just a red flag on this, the group is the Kansas Petroleum Council. So obviously they have an interest in petroleum. But I also believe that ethanol is a very bad policy. The subsidizing of ethanol, the use of corn to make fuel, especially at a time when the corn prices are going up and corn supplies are going to be very low. So So now, because of this government policy to push corn into your fuel tank through the use of ethanol, it means our corn prices are going to be even higher because corn supplies are even lower because we're burning our corn instead of eating it. That's just, that doesn't make sense. You know, corn is food, not fuel. You should eat your corn and burn your gas, not burn your corn and eat your gas. That would be insane. But I bet that's coming soon from Obama's economic policy advisors. Who knows what they'll come up with next? Export jobs, have gasoline for breakfast, and burn corn in your diesel engine. Why not? I mean, it makes as much sense as anything else. But anyway, straight ahead, stay with us here on the Alex Jones Show. Right after this break, we've got an interview with Daryl Rogers coming up about the Monsanto Protection Act. We'll be right back with that.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in today. My website is naturalnews.com. And of course, Alex Jones' website is infowars.com. And thank you for continuing with us today. It's always an honor to be able to sit in here at the command center and bring you this information about liberty and health and much, much more for your safety and sometimes your amusement. We always do little funny bits from time to time. But now we have a very serious issue to talk about. The so-called Monsanto Protection Act is that's sort of a loose name that's been assigned to some legislative efforts that are being attached to the 2012 Farm Bill and the 2013 Agriculture Appropriations Bill. And these would essentially force the federal government to approve GMOs at the request of biotechnology companies. And they would prohibit all safety reviews of GMOs from having any real impact on the GMO approval process. So this is, well, how to say this? You know how the vaccine industry got itself immunity by having the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, so you can't sue for vaccine damage anymore, you don't have due process anymore. And then the Supreme Court declared, this was last year, I believe, that the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program has a higher authority than the Supreme Court itself, if you can believe that. I guess they're not supreme anymore. The vaccine court is more powerful. Well, now Monsanto and the biotech industry is, of course, influencing legislators and regulators to try to make sure that there are no questions raised, no red flags raised about their activities as people are waking up and beginning to question the safety of GMOs and demand that it be labeled, of course, on foods. That's a big initiative in California. Now, joining us to help interpret this information and give us some more details, well, let me get Mylar man off the desk here. He's flapping in the wind over there. What's up with that? That's from the previous segment. But joining us is Daryl Rogers from the Alliance for Natural Health, ANH-USA.org. Daryl Rogers is the spokesperson for that organization, which I admire and check out their website frequently. He joins us now to give us some more analysis of the so-called Monsanto Protection Act. Daryl, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Mike.
Hey, it's great to have you on. This is the first time I've ever interviewed you, so it's great to be able to meet you this way. Tell us give us an overview of what this so-called Monsanto Protection Act is really all about.
Sure, this is really turning out to be the best Congress that genetically modified money can buy. Monsanto has asked a few members of Congress to slip in to really big appropriations bills and really big authorization bills, some kind of last-minute fly-by-night riders that the Monsanto lobbyists had in their pocket, and they kind of passed them off to their friendly members of Congress to insert into these pieces of legislation. They're called riders is because they just simply ride on like a parasite. This language, this Monsanto-sponsored language, has nothing to do or little to do with the actual bills that they're attached to. These are simply gifts to the industry. So you were 100% correct, Mike. There are two sets of riders, one to the 2012 House Farm Bill and the other one to the 2013 the FDA Appropriations Bill or Agricultural Appropriations Bill. And what they would really do, and you hit the nail right on the head, it would give Monsanto and the biotech industry practically a get-out-of-jail-free card. If Monsanto has before the USDA approval system some genetically modified plants, and the Alliance for Natural Health files a lawsuit and says, hey, wait, Monsanto, you can't get these things approved just yet. There's a couple other steps you have to go through. And a court, a federal court, says the Alliance for Natural Health is correct. Monsanto, you know, you have to go through these processes. Monsanto can just simply go to the GMO-funded and GMO-friendly USDA and say, can you get these guys off my back, these federal courts? And the USDA can issue to Monsanto and their buddies you do not apply to the federal judicial system, get out of jail free card, continue with what you're doing. The courts cannot stop you. Individuals cannot stop you. Science cannot stop you. You are free to plan and carry out your genetically modified crops and their approval processes without any judicial oversight.
Well, I bet a genetic crop holocaust could stop them because that's what's at risk here. You know, just for the record, we don't know for sure whether these GMOs would cause a massive global crop failure or genetic pollution holocaust of some sort. But the scientists that are pushing this, well, the biotech industry, I should say, the bought and paid for prostitute scientists, they don't know either. This is all a grand experiment. And that's, you know, hence the need for safety, hence the need for the precautionary principle when you're conducting science on such a grand scale with unknown outcomes. Would you agree with that, Daryl?
You're 100% correct. I mean, this is really an infant science that is being and the entire U.S. population is an unwilling participant in the scientific experiment. Genetically modified foods and crops have really only been on the market for the past 15 or 16 years. And Monsanto knows, and they've said it publicly a long time ago, that if you put a label on a genetically modified product that the ingredients are GMOs inside this piece of food or this food product, that it's like putting a skull and crossbones on that product. So Monsanto and the biotech industry is doing everything they can to make sure that states, the federal government, individuals do not require the labeling of genetically modified food.
Yeah, let's plug the labeling initiative. Is that labelit.org or what's the correct website for that?
It's CA, righttoknow.org, and also justlabelit.org.
Justlabelit.org. Okay. Go to those websites, folks, justlabelit.org. Also, go to the Alliance for Natural Health website, anh-usa.org, and you can find a lot of great news there. You know, I got to say, Daryl, I'm a big admirer of your website and your crew there. You've done some incredible work. You're doing some legal work, some investigative work. You're really fighting for liberty. I'm just truly a great admirer of everything your organization is doing. Can you tell us a little bit about your group for those who may not be familiar with it?
Sure. Thank you so much, Mike, for those very kind words. We are a grassroots advocacy organization. We're based in Washington, D.C., but we take action all around the country. We want to mobilize and turn the 100 million consumers of vitamin and dietary supplements, of complementary and alternative medicine. We want to turn those 100 million consumers into 100 million activists, into political activists that are fighting for their access to organic foods, to vitamin dietary supplements, to real information about science and health. And, we've kind of tasked ourselves with that mission. We are made up primarily of grassroots consumers. We also have practitioners, complementary and alternative practitioners that align ourselves with us and some of the folks in the natural products industry. But 90% of everything we do and who we are grassroots activists. And you can see from our newsletter articles, we have thousands of Facebook likes. We have, some 30,000 people following us on Facebook and Twitter. And this is only over the past 2 years that this is really just ballooned. We have so many people that want to become involved in keeping, government and big business out of their decision-making processes when they want to look for healthy alternatives to the cut, poison, and surgery and pharmaceutical methods of health and healing.
Well, and plus, Daryl, sorry to interrupt, but the backlash is growing against the encroachment of our rights and our food and farm freedoms. You've got the raids on milk taking place. You've got like the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, just going in and destroying this woman's garden with over 100 varieties of edible plants and medicines and foods, just destroying it. You've got the attacks on nutritional supplements, the attacks on free speech about nutritional supplements. Attorney Jonathan Emord has spoken about that, and Jim Turner has spoken about that at great length. I know your organization has taken action on many of those issues. The backlash is growing, man, because people are just fed up. They are offended by this idea that food and supplements and nutrition is being criminalized by this mafia government. They're just fed up with it, and I don't blame them. I'm fed up with it.
They truly are, and what's really fantastic is that we are seeing folks come to this issue from so many different paths, from so many different political stripes. You know, we have folks that come through the Alliance for Natural Health, and you probably see them on your website as well, Natural News, that, you know, they were longtime, you know, super liberal hippies, or they're super conservative, you know, libertarians, crunchy libertarians, and people are just simply, you know, maybe were just right down the middle independent voter, but they happen to they might have gotten ill, and they looked for kind of the modern traditional medicine, and they realized that there is absolutely nothing here for me, and I want to take responsibility for my health, and let me have access to the information and products to do that. And they're finding that there are more and more roadblocks to access to that information and that health. And to get back to the original points on the Monsanto get out of jail free, the Monsanto Protection Act, and we mentioned the first one, which was the Monsanto was allowed to ask the USDA for pretty much a hall pass to not have to get their crops reviewed by federal courts.
It's incredible.
There's another set of these riders that was put in just last week into the House Farm Bill, and these are almost even more dangerous, because particularly within that set of riders that's in the House Farm Bill, it removes farmer protections from suing for cross-contamination of GE foods. Just think about how important that is. Monsanto and Bayer and other big biotech companies have lost millions and millions of dollars in courts because farmers have sued them for cross-contamination of their GMO crops, contaminated their non-GMO crops. And when these farmers tried to sell their products overseas to Japan and to Europe, those boats got turned around and sent right back.
Yeah, they lost hundreds of millions of dollars potentially because, right, if it's GMO contaminated, they can't sell it or the value drops. It's almost worthless.
Yeah, and so the riders that are attached to the House bill, the House Farm Bill, would remove those kind of farmer protections for cross-contamination. It also requires Congress, or actually Congress asked the USDA to come up with an allowable limit of transgenic pollution. So the bill would compel USDA to establish a extremely controversial national policy on low-level presence. So if your organic crops, if your just regular traditional crops become contaminated with GE toxins, then you do not have recourse in the courts because USDA has set this level of X amount of pollution is allowed in your crops.
And, yeah, hold on a second, Darrell. We got to go to break, but stay with us.
Sure.
We'll continue on the other side of the break. But yeah, I find this highly offensive. Oh, what's a little bit of GMO? What's a little bit of radiation? What's a little bit of fluoride in your diet? Ah, and who cares? That's what the USDA says and the FDA. And meanwhile, you're being poisoned to death. We're going to get the solutions on the other side. Stay with us on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back.
Ira Hayes, Ira Hayes, call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore, not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war.
All right, we've got some breaking news just coming in right now. This is red-linked on the top of drudgereport.com. U.S. Navy fires on ship in Persian Gulf. One dead. An American Navy ship fired on a boat in the Persian Gulf today, killing one person and injuring three others aboard the craft. And ABC News is reporting this right now. We're going to get to that in just about five minutes or so. But it looks like a Gulf of Tonkin potentially type of event, trying to have justification for war with Iran. As you know, in fact, Alex just called me during the break and reminded me that Iran had previously announced that they're going to close the Straits of Hormuz roughly around the October timeframe. So maybe this is some kind of tactic to initiate conflict and thereby justify an invasion. We'll get to that later. Also, another breaking story on Infowars.com, an article by Paul Joseph Watson, UN gun grab follows State Department plan. We'll get to those two stories in just a minute. But first, we finish up with Darrell Rogers from the Alliance for Natural Health about the Monsanto Protection Act, as it's being called. It's actually several riders attached to different legislative bills. And my question to you, Darrell, is now solution-wise, what can individuals and activists do to stop this? I noticed that Representative Peter DeFazio, a Democrat out of Oregon, has introduced some amendments to try to kill this. But what can consumers do, Darrell? Let us know.
first off, support DeFazio's amendment. Let your member of Congress know that you will not put up for Monsanto just carving out for themselves exclusions to the rule of law. So our website, anh-usa.org, on the homepage of our website, you'll find that action alert. And then on top of that, our newsletter articles also give you updates on the other GMO issues that are important. So we want people to take action on those. But really, when it comes down to it, people ask me this quite frequently, what can somebody do about this? There are three things that individuals can do. One, vote with your dollar. You know, don't support the biotech and Monsanto industries. Shop for your local fresh, organic, and farmers markets for your produce and for your food. Secondly, use your social networks to take action. We have access to hundreds of people, sometimes thousands of people online. Talk to them, engage them in issues that you're involved in and that you find important. And secondly, take political action. Naturalnews.com, the Alliance for Natural Health, anh-usa.org, there are action alerts up there. Contact your members of Congress. There are other organizations out there that individuals should not only follow, but take action, and if you can, contribute to, because it's an uphill battle, but we've got the numbers, and if everybody puts in just a little, it'll make the fight a whole lot easier, and the results will be certainly significant.
Absolutely. Also want to plug organicconsumers.org. Ronnie Cummins heads that up, the Organic Consumers Association, which has been also at the forefront of this fight. You know what I love about all this, Daryl, is that so many of these groups, you know, all of us who believe in liberty and freedom and honest information on food labels, you know, we really cooperate. We work together. It's not like there's any central plan. We don't sit in a room and plan all this. We just do it because it's the right thing to do. We just work together. We promote each other. We work toward the common goal of having honest food that supports sustainable life. I mean, it's not difficult.
It really isn't, and this is an area where everyone's got their kind of their own niche, but altogether, it's a big umbrella, it's a big tent, and we're all working just for the very, very basic principles of people deserve the ability to access information, healthy food, and vitamins and minerals without interference from government or Monsanto.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate the work that you and Gretchen and the others there are doing at the Alliance for Natural Health. So I want to thank you for joining me today, Daryl. Any final thoughts as we close this segment out?
No, just thank you so much, Mike, for having me on and the Alliance for Natural Health, and just recommend that everybody stay active, stay informed, and take action.
All right, well said. Thanks for being on the show today, Daryl. A pleasure to have you on. You're a great spokesperson, and I think you're right on the right track to helping educate and empower consumers. Thanks for joining us. All right, so
thank you.
Yeah, yep, very good, Daryl. Okay, here we go. We're going to get to this news, and we'll continue as the break is coming shortly. But again, U.S. Navy fires on ship in Persian Gulf. This is breaking right now. It is red-linked at the top of drudgereport.com. We're going to cover this with more analysis right here on The Alex Jones Show in the next few minutes. And also, UN gun grab follows State Department plan. Complete disarmament of the American people is the subhead, an article by Paul Joseph Watson, posted right now at Infowars.com. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex today. I'll be here today and tomorrow. And let's load up the phones, folks, because I'm going to take some calls in the next segment, as well as covering these two stories. All that and much more straight ahead on The Alex Jones Show. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are continuing here on this Monday, July 16th, 2012, on The Alex Jones Show. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com, filling in. I'll be here today and tomorrow. The phones are open right now at 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 259-9231. We're taking calls on almost any topic, but especially on the breaking news items that are happening right now. Again, the U.S. Navy fires on a ship in the Persian Gulf, one dead. According to ABC News, and this is also linked on Drudge Report, a U.S. Navy official said the offending vessel was a white pleasure craft, but a UAE official told ABC News it was a fishing boat with four Indians and two Emirates on board. U.S. Navy, Rapanak fired a 50 caliber machine gun at this small motor vessel, and one is dead. But one U.S. Navy official has said, quote, "I can't emphasize enough that this has nothing to do with Iran." So there is an effort to potentially de-escalate the situation. Nonetheless, there has been a request from U.S. Central Command to maintain a two-carrier presence in the Middle East, and that is, of course, believed to be ramping up for possible war with Iran. We know that the United States and other nations have an agenda to basically take out Iran, and they're probably looking for an excuse to do so. So with all that in mind, let's go to some calls and get some comments and questions from our listeners. We've got Dwayne in Texas on the line. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Hey, Mikey.
Yeah, hey.
Good to see you back on the show, man.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I just want to tell you, you know, the big headline news, I think, for most people, too, you know, aside from all the GMO that's going on, we know that's slow kill and things of that nature, and those are very important. But what you got to understand, too, is that with the UN gun grab, what's going on now, I mean, that's people's basic right to protect themselves.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's the big thing that's at hand right now. And in the community that I live in, I have talked to peace officers, both city police department as well as sheriff and even some military that may have been here on leave or whatever the case. But what I've done is I've actually challenged them with a question. Say, listen, you know, the UN gun grab, and most of them are completely oblivious.
Of course, yeah.
But the second thing I do is I say, hey, what, you know, when it comes time for you to come round up these firearms, you know, well, are you going to do it? You know, basically posing the question to
yeah.
them.
Yeah. What do they say?
And they say, well, you know, obviously most of them are do not like it. But you have to understand that the police are not here to protect us, and we should know that due to what the Supreme Court calls sovereign immunity. They don't even have to respond to a 911 call.
No, of course not. I mean, you bring up some good points here, Dwayne, some good questions. Look, the police know, and there's many, many good good people, men and women in local law enforcement, and I know many of them. They know that if they try this kind of gun confiscation, they're going to get shot up by people who are not willing to give up that protection. Because think about it. If the honest people give up all their firearms, then the criminals are going to run loose across every city, every countryside in America, and be able to just invade homes and steal and rape and pillage without being stopped whatsoever. Because what are you going to do? Call 911? Really? Out in the country? Really? Where the response time is 25 to 30 minutes? Forget it. Now, good points, Dwayne. I appreciate your call. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to Keith in New York, who's joining us now. Go ahead, Keith. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? You guys do a lot of good with getting a lot of pressing issues out. And I really think if the president goes ahead and signs this gun ban treaty, you guys need to organize a massive march, you know, to call for his impeachment. That would make, you know, it makes him a direct threat to the Constitution.
Well, I think that's a great idea, Keith. The thing is, there's just so many assaults on our freedoms and liberties. There's so much going on. I got to say, Alex Jones was here at the studio working until at least 11 o'clock last night on a Sunday night. The guy is working 24/7. It's ridiculous. We're trying to save liberty here, and I know you and others are as well. There's just so many things that have to be done. Organizing a march is a pretty big deal, but I think your idea will definitely be taken into consideration. It's a great suggestion. We need to get that kind of idea out there, and maybe when the time is right, enough people will just coalesce into that kind of a movement. Let's go to Janine in Minnesota. You're on the air, Janine. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mike. It's always good to see your face when you're filling in.
Hey, it's great. It's great to be here. Thanks for joining us. You got a comment or a question? What's on your mind?
Well, both. I have two things. I have some information on the drones firsthand, and then I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
My son-in-law, he's in the Air Force. He just started training to be a drone pilot down there. They shipped him over to Texas. So he's training right now. It's only his, second day of training, so I don't have a lot of information about what exactly it all involves. But apparently, in the Air Force, you know, these guys have families, and they need to feed their families, and that's the most coveted position there is to be a drone pilot.
Well, sure, you don't have to go out onto the battlefield. You can. It's just like playing a video game.
That's the big. The big catch is everybody wants to do it.
Well, I guess so. I mean, plus, remember, these the young kids that are growing up and going into the Navy and the Army and these other Air Force and so on, you know, they grew up on video games. So to them, this is just the next extension of it. But, you know, the downside to that is that they don't see the reality of the damage that they could be causing, right? They fire a missile into a house or a structure or a vehicle. They don't see the blood, the bodies, the screaming, the suffering, because it's distant. And yet they can still get medals now, arguably, for doing that. So, you know, a lot of frontline military guys have a problem with that going on. But I appreciate your call. Please keep us informed when you find out more about what kind of training he's getting. That would be interesting. And thank you for your call. Let's go to Eldon in Washington now. Eldon, you're on the air on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mike. Glad to hear from you again today. Nice to see you on the show.
Hey, it's always good to be here.
Hey, I wanted to speak quickly about a little program they got going in the Philippines with the vaccinations where my wife is from. Imagine just going through some Gardasil information here, excuse me, and about 3 weeks ago, we are webcamming my mother-in-law, okay? She has to excuse herself, go to the door, and this is in a very rural area where we have about five little houses. She comes back to the computer, and I said, what's going on, Mom? She said, there's people here who want to give us a shot. I said, at your home? What are they trying to give you? And ask them if it's a thing called Gardasil. So she goes back, and I've got several little sisters there that we don't want touched. So they're going around through the Billy Boy and Melinda Gates Foundation, through the Catholic Church over there, and handing out small bags of rice if they can inoculate you.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, my mother-in-law is in her early 50s and had a hysterectomy earlier last year. They actually wanted to give her the shot, but when they went through the quick little card questionnaire, she had a hysterectomy, and they said, well, this, you know, doesn't count for you. So this is my family overseas who is not cognizant or privy to the information we enjoy here, getting, you know, they're attempting to inoculate them in their home. And I'm a medical professional, and I'd say, heck no.
Yeah, this is, I'm really glad you called in. This is a great point. Door-to-door vaccinations. We've seen this in the U.S., and you mentioned that they were giving them a reward of a bag of rice if they allowed themselves to get the shot. That's what we're going to see more and more of, is either financial or material incentives to agree to be injected with what essentially are experimental and potentially harmful vaccines with all kinds of stealth viruses, animal DNA, RNA fragments from who knows what source. That is some scary stuff. I appreciate your call, and it's great to bring that up. It's also a good defense just to tell them, hey, I've had a hysterectomy, and then it doesn't apply to me. That's something that every female listening should keep in mind. If they come to your house and try to give you an injection, just say, hey, I've had a hysterectomy. It doesn't apply to me. Maybe that'll make them go away. Oh, man. But probably soon they're going to start bringing the vaccines with firearms, especially if they can disarm the entire American public, then they know that nobody's got any way to defend themselves against these biological chemical attacks known as experimental vaccines. Let's go to Judy in Florida. Judy, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us today. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know how much it's been, you know, brought up, you know, in your office about what happened in Los Angeles with the art walk, where it's a monthly deal where people come and they just draw art, from what I understand, on sidewalks. And it's you know, just a fun monthly thing that people in Los Angeles do. Well, on Friday night, there were riot police that came and dispersed people. It alerted shop owners who came out, and it turned into people getting shot upon. And it was a friend of mine that watched the live stream of
wait, who was doing the shooting? Who was shooting?
It was a friend of mine, and I can give you his full name.
No, I mean, when you say people were fired upon,
people were fired upon by riot police with what my friend said were 40 caliber foam grenade bullets. And Fox News covered it, and I think it was NBC, and also it was in the Huffington Post, where they, I don't know if they actually talked in the articles about people being shot upon.
Okay, guys, in the control room, can you search on that and see if there's a video or something about that incident? It's called the Art Walk in Los Angeles.
A monthly event, and they turned it into, in the mainstream media, an Occupy movement. It had nothing with Occupy anything.
Well, no, this is about showing the people who's in charge here, and thank you for your call. That's a really good point. Look, you know, art is now probably going to be considered an act of terrorism. You know, how dare you express yourself on a sidewalk using chalk, for example. You know, look, who was the artist that was featured here on the show that drew, I think, Chase or JP Morgan Bank on fire and then was threatened with arrest or even detained? I don't remember the details, but yeah, artists are under attack. Hey, we're showing the video right now on PrisonPlanet.tv of exactly what you were talking about there. So you're exactly right on. Here we're seeing protesters. There's chalk art on the sidewalk. A lot of people filming with cameras, a lot of lights and probably sirens. We can't hear the audio, but clearly large number of people collected there. The police look like they formed a line. They've got motorcycle cops there with their lights blinking, protesters with signs. Here comes the audio so we can hear a little bit of what's going on. I don't see anybody firing. The motorcycles are now advancing toward the crowd, and this apparently took place last night in Los Angeles, and this is from a tip of a caller right here on the Alex Jones Show. I tell you what, keep watching that video there, guys, and if something interesting happens, come back to me, and we'll continue with that. Otherwise, I'm going to continue with other callers, because all these callers have such great information. Scott in Idaho is next on the line. Scott, you're live on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Mike Adams. A real pleasure to be on the phone with you. I want to address the upcoming war with Iran. It was concluded at Nuremberg that to initiate a war of aggression is not only an international crime, it is the supreme international crime, differing only from other war crimes in that it contains within itself the accumulated evil of the whole. We've been at war with Iran for some time now, with our cyber attacks, military psyops, propaganda, and sanctions. We're already in Iran killing, and yet Congress has not declared war, which the United States Constitution says that Congress has that right, even though the Executive Department stole it some time ago.
No, well said. The executive branch of government now doesn't even talk to Congress anymore. It's let's just legalize the immigrants. Let's just declare a penalty to force everybody into monopoly controlled healthcare systems that give money to Big Pharma, which are now total criminal mafia organizations, admittedly on the record. You're right. Who consults Congress anymore? They just declare war. They just declare themselves to be king. It's incredible. Any other thoughts on that?
You betcha. James Madison said, and I quote, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people."
Absolutely. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is why this incident that's happened today in the Strait of Hormuz is potentially very, very important, that the U.S. Navy has fired on a ship there with 50 caliber rounds and has killed one person. That's why this is important. You're exactly right. That's a very important quote. I'm glad you brought that to us, and thank you for your call. I do want to go to some other callers here. Julio in Illinois joins us now. Julio, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Mike, you do a phenomenal job. Fan of your work. And big thanks to Mark Dice and others that covered Bohemian Grove. They did a great job this weekend. I got two things. I was covering the CPAC Chicago event a couple weeks ago, and I haven't released this video yet, but there's a freshman congressman from Kansas. His name is Tim Holzkamp, I believe his name is. I didn't know who he was, But during his press conference, he mentioned he was a part of the Agriculture Committee. So I thought it'd be a great time to ask a congressman a question on GMO labeling, whether he agrees with it or not. Little did I know that this guy is Monsanto funded.
Oh, really?
So, I ask him, number one, you know, with Monsanto lobbying taking place in Washington and so many people are concerned with GMOs, do you feel that we should have labeling differentiating GMO foods to non-GMO foods?
What do you say?
He admits to me, number one, that he's a GMO farmer. He has a family farm out in Kansas. I believe he gets government subsidies. I'd have to do more research on that. But number two, he admits that we, the American people, are already eating some form of genetically engineered food. Again, this is a Kansas congressman, Tim Holtzkamp. He's Monsanto-funded. You can look up on Open Secrets. Admits to me in a press conference, I'm going to release this video, that we eat GMO food and that he grows GMOs, and that is perfectly fine.
That's incredible. Did you shake his hand and find he has seven fingers? I mean,
I did not shake his hand.
Yeah, good for you.
It is incredible. It is incredible because he's saying that, you know, if people want to pay more for organic food, they can go ahead and pay more. But again, we eat genetically engineered food already, and there's no harm to it.
Oh, that's incredible. But what an admission that it's already infiltrated the entire food supply, and that genetic pollution has already taken place, and he's going to continue to pollute our nation with his own crops as a farmer and try to represent the people, even while he's growing corporate property, intellectual property seeds. Give me a break. Great call, though. I'm glad you brought that up. A lot more straight ahead. Stay with us. And we're back on the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in. We're taking calls, and I got to say, I really love the callers onto this show because they're so well-informed. They really get it. They bring great ideas. Lots of innovation out there. And before we go to more calls, just very quickly, in the next hour, we've got Alex Jones with his Ask Alex segment. That's coming up. And also, I'll be back tomorrow hosting yet again with some really groundbreaking info. We've got a whistleblower inside a major global pharmaceutical company that's going to go public with some very eye-opening information about what happens behind the scenes in the mafia pharmaceutical industry, which we know is, well, led by criminals. That's just a matter of public record now, actually, with these settlements that have been taking place. But let's go to some more calls. We've got David in Georgia on the line. David, thanks for joining us. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great, David. Everything going all right with you?
Yes, good. I've been awake since the 60s, and in the 70s, I read None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And in that book, it says that... now I've lost my train of thought. Anyway,
well, that's a good
if
book,
we
though.
Lose our Second Amendment rights, the rest of our rights will fall like they have fell in a well.
Absolutely, yeah.
We have to keep it from happening.
I completely
don't know how we can do it, but we need to organize something to stop this.
Completely agree with you there, David. You're absolutely right. The Second Amendment is what makes all the other amendments possible, because without the Second... I mean, even with the Second still in place, the government is trying to take away the Fourth, the Fifth, the First, of course. I mean, everything, you name it, they're trying to take it away. Very good point there from David. This is why we have to resist that UN treaty effort and support those who would, honor the Constitution, honor the Founding Fathers. What's so hard about that? The Bill of Rights. Let's go to Chris in Oklahoma. Chris, you're on the air on the Alex Jones Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Hells Ranger. How's it been?
Good. It's good here, man. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I was with the 45th Infantry Brigade and Delta Company, first at the 279, second platoon. During Hurricane Katrina, I'm kind of calling in on yesterday's subject. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
But I've always wanted to get a hold of you guys and kind of get the word out there for those that still have that slight hesitation in the back of their head that gun confiscation can't and won't happen here. It already has. And I was only 21 years old, just really gung-ho, really dedicated to the Army, especially to the infantry. And I did whatever I was told.
And what did they ask you to do?
All right. First, let's see. The first thing we did was we got a book full of 3-week-old 911 phone calls, right? And then we had to go around and answering all the phone calls. So we were like cadaver dogs for about 3 weeks. And in between them, we would run night missions. And here's the thing. A lot of people may think that they'll see this on the news or they'll have time to get ready when, you know, when the crap hits the fan or whatever. It's just, it's a truck. You know what I mean? It's a group of trucks. They pull up, they stack right on your home, as we did, and we broke entry. Yeah, we would yell out, Oklahoma Army National Guard, is anybody in need of assistance? But that's as we were booting in the door.
But wait a minute, it sounds like you weren't part of the Oklahoma National Guard. I mean, you were U.S. military.
Yeah, I was activated, I think about a week after Katrina. I was watching it on the news, and Sheriff Kamiko of Fox 23 told me before my unit even got a hold of me that I was going to New Orleans.
So we got
sent in, and we were the very, very first boots on the ground, Alpha Company.
And you were confiscating firearms?
Left and right, yes. And wow. We were also monitoring the New Orleans police because we kept having, like, you know, like the first day we had this little beautiful redheaded lady come up.
All right, wait a minute. We're almost out of time. Will you stay on the line for us, please? I want to continue with you on the other side. Stay on the line with us. This is fascinating. We're going to continue this right here on the Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
And we are back into the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. Mike Adams here filling in for Alex today, and I'll be back tomorrow as well. We have Chris on the line from Oklahoma relating a story about gun confiscation in New Orleans and that entire region following Hurricane Katrina several years ago. And Chris, go ahead. You were describing how you and your team were kicking in doors and confiscating firearms from people. Did anybody resist? Did anybody ever shoot back? What happened?
Well, we had a couple of people resist verbally, and they got stuffed and cuffed very violently. We throw them in the back of the 5-ton or the deuce and a half or whatever, and then we take them out to the Greyhound bus station, which was the police station at the time. We, like what I was saying, like before we came up or before the break, I think it was like the second day we were there, this redheaded lady came up to our platoon's area, and she sat, or to our company area, she sat on the curb with her knees in her chest, just rocking back and forth, crying uncontrollably. She sat there for almost 27 hours, just refused to move. We talked to her, we did everything we could, just didn't want to, you know, you could tell she had been through enough. She'd been repeatedly raped by men in NOPD masks and NOPD uniforms.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So we were told, you know, at that point we were told the NOPD obviously isn't our friend. We need to start watching them. The FBI had us out there at Cooter Brown, which is the NOPD Sheriff's Brother's Bar. It's like the big cop bar there in New Orleans.
Just so people know, NOPD is New Orleans Police Department, just for people who know.
Yeah, definitely. Or not the police department.
So a lot of those cops were then just total rogue. I mean, we saw a video of some of them going in and looting retail stores and things like that, but they were raping women down there?
Definitely, raping women. They were. We got two separate women that came to our company alone, and when I was there, I met cats from the California Guard, Indiana Guard, you name it, everybody was. And
but how?
It was just a free-for-all. Police from all over the country, Dallas County, Dallas, Texas sheriffs down there.
But how did you and your team justify to yourselves and each other that gun confiscation would help this situation when it was a free-for-all? I mean, isn't that a time when citizens need to be able to defend themselves?
It never, you know, like I said, I was just ignorant as hell. And that's kind of something that I worry about with the kids today, you know, if they really realize what they're doing. You know, I had no idea. The only time it ever occurred to me that something may be wrong is we came up, we were down by the old French district. We came up to this man's house. He had a big wooden sign that says, I'm here alone with my dog and my shotgun. Looters beware. We thought, you know, it's funny. Everyone stopped and took pictures of the sign. But eventually we took his guns.
Jeez.
And we left him there with nothing.
So now that you know what you know, now that you're listening to the Alex Jones Show and you're informed, what would you advise people to do if this happens again?
Well, I called. I mean, No offense. I mean, Mike, we love everything you do. I'm a big fan of the Health Ranger, but I was hoping to get a hold of Alex for the fact that what do you do when they stack right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're prepped to come into the home. There's no negotiating with us. Trust me. There was no negotiating.
Yeah.
If you resisted, you died. That were the orders. You give up your gun or you die.
Yeah, but well, I mean, this is invaluable information. I apologize. We only have a limited time here. I got to let you go. We've got so much more coming up here, but fascinating. I hope you call back and get to Alex as well. You know, I'll pass on this conversation to Alex and let him know. But that's some frightening information, and it's. I just hope that the military. The members of the military say no, they refuse to engage in gun confiscation because no doubt there could be outbreaks of violence and a lot of needless death and bloodshed if that happens. But thank you for your call, Chris. That's very concerning. All right, coming up right after this, Alex in the Ask Alex segment, and it's Ask Alex Jones from PlanetInfoWars.com, and that's it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with a lot more breaking news on a deep inside whistleblower of Big Pharma and much more straight ahead tomorrow. Thanks for having me on today, everybody. And Alex is coming up next with his segment, Ask Alex. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome. I'm Christy Hightower here from Planet InfoWars. I'm here with our guest, Alex Jones, who's actually answering your questions from the Ask Alex group on PlanetInfoWars.com. This is a special edition marathon version. So we're doing 50 questions. We'll probably cut it up into little parts so that you can stay tuned. So let's get started, Alex. Now, keep that in mind. Keep them short.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. This first one comes to you from Chuck, and he says, you recently had Webster Tarpley on your radio show and asked some great questions, such as, are you a communist? To which Webster replied and elaborated on what he believes and explained as a true American political economic system. And a lot has been going on, and I know that you have numerous issues to cover in very little time, but I'd be interested in hearing what you think of Tarpley's comments about this political system. He speaks of and he takes a part on libertarians. He had a wealth of information to support his ideas. So
no, that's enough. Yeah, no, I mean, not because I did the interview, so I hadn't read the question, but I remember it.
Absolutely.
Look, it's a difference of views, and he claims the American system is this state-directed system, and it really isn't.
Yeah.
Some of what he said's true. And it's all a philosophy. But if you don't have an engaged, informed population that demands liberty and freedom, you're going to have corruption take over, whether it's a libertarian, laissez-faire system, whether it's a state-directed system. When the public becomes a bunch of TV head jellyfish, everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket. And so I have open debates about a fiat currency run by government or a gold or silver-backed, the Ron Paul, Von Mises view. But overall, government centralized systems get taken over by special interest and become extremely corrupt and generally are the worst system. So, I mean, I've thought long and hard about this. I've read the literature and history across the spectrum. And Tarpley's great on history and great on power structures and the eugenicist. God love him. I saw one commenter one time when somebody called in and asked about him, said, don't be two-faced behind his back. Tell him this to his face. This is on the radio and TV. This is not behind Tarpley's back. But I promise, next time he's on, I'm going to say, Tarpley, you've got some blind spots. You think we should all take all the vaccines because it's some weird communal proletariat thing. You like McDonald's. You like aspartame, Diet Coke. I mean, he's very proud of this. He goes, what are you going to do, Robinson Crusoe? And I go, no, Robinson Crusoe isn't not taking shots and drinking aspartame and eating chicken McNuggets with silicone in them. So Tarpley's a really smart guy, almost savantish in many ways, because I've been around him personally. He speaks like five languages fluently. But look, I'm savantish in a way. I'm sure everybody is. You know, I've got some spots that are lacking. I like Tarpley. He's kind of like a, you know, entertaining mascot around here. I mean, we all like Tarpley as a person. It's just his belief in the state and that the state is the arbiter and is the birth from which all goodness flows. I think he's ass backwards in history.
Absolutely.
So I disagree with him, and that's what I have to say about Mr. Tarpley. Good question. Had to have a longer answer. We've got one we're one question down here at planetinfowars.com, folks. This is where you meet. This is where you get involved. This is where you take action. We're going to have a letter to the editor section. I want to get that set up at the time.
All right.
So folks can send not things that I'm going to comment on, but we're going to have Christy sit here and read, and then if you have a comment, that's great. Yeah. I think once a week you should read maybe 20 letters.
That'd be awesome.
Four paragraphs or less. Could I have a rule on that? And then just read them. That way your view unfettered goes out. Or I could read them. I mean, whatever.
That would be interesting.
Aaron could read them. Aaron over there running the camera right now because he does such a darn good job.
He even has a Facebook following, actually, Aaron.
Aaron's a rock star over there of Liberty. All right, go ahead.
All right, well, this next one comes to you from Keisha, and she says, Alex, if you could go back in time, it's kind of a fun question, actually. If you could go back in time and when you were younger, but still keep all of the knowledge that you have right now, what would that look like? Imagine coming home to the first day of kindergarten being a genius.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we all wish for that?
I don't say I'm a genius now. I've often thought, I think everybody's thought of, think all the mistakes I made. What if I knew all that?
Gosh.
You know, back then. And I think that's where listening to your parents comes from. But we almost genetically are designed to want to get out of the nest, start our own hut, get out of the system. And our parents are telling us things and we're like not listening to them. So there's three ways to learn, I guess. There's by revelation, where it just beamed into your head. There's by experience, and there's by being taught. And experience is a great teacher because you really remember it. But it would be better for young folks out there, even if your old man or mom aren't perfect. They care about you. They're going to give you some overall advice that's good. So it's best to not, you know, detest them because in a way you're detesting yourself. And so, boy, I wish I knew.
Is there a day you want to
back then what I know now? What?
Is there a particular day you would want to go back to, like that you think about?
I wish that when some bully started to fight with me, that I just learned to back down. When I could, because it was just pointless. I like all those brain cells I'm missing from having my head slammed in the concrete and, you know, going to jail and stuff like that. I mean, I would have been less confrontational. But in a way, again, that's catch-22, because I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't grown up where I did in Dallas and seen the things I saw. So, whatever. I mean, there's no going back unless you try to teach your children what you've gone through. But they haven't experienced it yet, so they're not going to listen.
Right.
You know, later you're like, oh, Dad, Mom, you were sure right about that. Man, I wish I'd listened to you. That's so older you get, the more right your parents get. You know?
It's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah.
All right, well, this next one comes to you from Chris, and he says, Alex, a question. Are things so different here in the UK? One thing I've noticed from campaigning in the UK is that the US campaigning is so much more vitriolic. Do you feel you need a louder voice in the U.S. to get noticed, or is it just plain wrong? Is that wrong?
Well, I mean, you can do stunts in the media to get noticed, but I've noticed we've inadvertently done stunts before, mm-hmm. where it's the right thing the media picks up, but then they still control the message. It's like you put out something that they're ready to pick up and make big. It's because they can spin it to their advantage.
Right.
So I've never really been calculating about what I do. You know, it's more of, I think this is important. This is what I'm thinking, feeling. I'd like to impart this. And some of it resonates with people. Some of it doesn't. So it is what it is. That's why it's important with things like planetinfowars.com that people get together there, start their own campaigns, get involved, meet others. Because there are people watching out there right now who are smarter than I am, more eloquent than I am, more informed, who've had life experiences that are going to be, you know, bring pieces of the puzzle that I can't cover. That's why I'm trying to hire all these great reporters and bring in other graphics people and expend the capital I've accrued to try to really go to the next level. Because I realize this is a very important position we're in. And that's why a lot of times it'll be midnight and I shoot a video and upload it. It's because I realize, man, we've got this limited window to actually affect change for the good.
It's a key time in history. Right?
What now. Question are we up to now?
We're up to number four.
Am I moving fast?
You are moving fast. I'm very
Continue the interrogation.
Here it goes. This is actually from user Tofu, clever username. I'm a former active duty Marine. I live in Okinawa, Japan, and I listen to your show every day over and over, the rebroadcast and all of that. I believe in you, Alex. So I've woken up a few friends, and they listen to me like you do. When I go on airbase, they scan our civilian ID cards, and I'm a prepper. But my friends think I'm a kook, which I thought was kind of cute language. Do you think things would become bad for American citizens living abroad like me?
Statistically, in a world financial collapse that's designed to bring in world government, it will be worse to be in areas where you're not indigenous, just because you don't fit in, you don't blend in with the culture. When things get rough, you'll be the first person gets turned on. I don't want to geographically say something about, you know, an island off Japan, because you know more about that area than I do because you live there. So I think your question states the concern and the knowledge you already have. But, you know, it does, cultural bounds mean nothing, because we're all human in the final equation. If you've got really good friends you've known for years, you know, the cultural differences can be bridged there. It's just that, I don't know, the Japanese are known for being the opposite of lawless. So Japan's a pretty good place to be during a crisis. I mean, you think Americans would act that polite and nice during a nuclear meltdown? You got nothing. It'd be looting, mass murder, and death, and burning cities if we had something like you had. I mean, instead, like, crime went down when they got hit by tidal waves and had reactors blow up.
Crazy.
Instead, here, it'd be like,
oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Now, as we're thinking about your geographic and cultural locale, even though it's an island, things are more expensive. You're an island off an island. You said Okinawa, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a problem for cost during a collapse. But I don't know. I mean, there couldn't be a more...
kind, forgiving people?
Yeah, I mean, just orderly, focused, people too prideful to be crooks on average in the Japanese. So I'm not going to judge it, but it's a mixed bag.
All right, this next one comes to you from Noah, and he says, is there any proof that British Labour Party politicians, John Smith and Robin Cook, were assassinated by associates of Tony Blair? I think that kind of alludes to
it. Yeah, there's overwhelming evidence that happened. People can look into it. When they would come out and say Al-Qaeda's fake, the government runs it, boom, you'd have a heart attack next day. I mean, they kill people all the time. I mean, you had Dr. David Kelly said, they've told me I'll be killed and found in the woods if I tell you, but it's all fake. There's no WMDs. And then a guy walking his dog sees five guys in black uniforms leaving the body, running away. The wrists are slit, no blood at the scene. Then they say he took pills and died, but two undissolved pills were in his stomach.
This one comes to you from, forgive me if I can't say it right, Vithom, I think. Alex, I've heard you mention some things about Ronald Reagan's assassination attempt and the medical care he received afterwards that somehow diminished his mental capacity. I've been unable to find anything else on this. Could you expand on the topic a bit? Maybe provide a resource material?
Well, here's the good news and the bad news. I'm not looking at these questions beforehand. Sometimes she'll ask me a question about one of them because she wants to know before we go to them. But I have not seen your question, so I don't have time to go look up the stuff, because if we did, we never even get to this.
Yeah.
Multiple guests over the years. I think TV news pieces were done at the time that, you know, Reagan was incapacitated a few weeks because of some cold blood he was given. And if you do that, it can cause kind of like a overall stroke-like effect in the brain. The fact that he would be asleep for days, then suddenly be animated, and the word is they use that to kind of get control of him medically. But we should look into that. Perhaps you can do it, Christy, for next time, so we can like put a star and then come back and say, "I'll fly."
Yeah, no kidding. This next one comes to you from Glenn. He says, "Smoking used to be ubiquitous. It was everywhere: TV, billboards, movies, even in comic books." Smokers are some of the most stubborn people I know. In your opinion, was smoking a beta test for getting rid of an individual's rights?
Yes, it is. I mean, it was Edward Bernays and other propagandists that helped sell that, you know, be radical, be a feminist, smoke cigarettes in the 20s and 30s, liberty torches. And then the system decided, you know, for whatever reason, okay, well, we can kill them through vaccines and GMO. Let's have the test to ban something that people know is unhealthy. And the next, it's popcorn, milk products, and soft drinks and salt. Now, not in New York, but spreading all over. So it's kind of a globalist system where they try to get standardized laws all over the world. And yes, it was undoubtedly a beta test. I mean, they're one of the oldest men in the world, over 105 years old, smokes a pack of cigarettes every day. I'm not saying it's good. Genetically, some people can handle it. Other people, it's a death warrant. Not a good idea to be pulling a bunch of dirty smoke. It's not just the tobacco. They add hundreds of chemicals into those things to make them more addictive, to make you smoke more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the weird thing is I've always smoked on and off, cigars, cigarettes, you name it. I'm a big tobacco guy. But one time for 6 years I quit where suddenly it stunk and I didn't like it. And finally, again, about a year ago, I quit. And now it stinks and it's horrible. I have no desire for it. So it's like, thank God, I actually prayed to get me off those things, and it happened, because now when I smell somebody smoking a cigarette, it makes me want to throw up. And I used to wonder why I'd be outside a restaurant or something smoking a cigarette, and people walk by and go, oh, we got to smell your smoke. I'd get mad at them. But now I really get it. It's like, as I smell it, it just smells like...
It's interesting what knowledge does to you, too. I mean, the more you learn about how bad something is, you like cultivate this desire to really get rid of it. I mean, the idea of... like what it does to your lungs or how it affects your body.
Oh, it's also, you know how many radioactive isotopes are in it?
Oh, I don't.
I didn't even know this, but like somehow it's strange. The tobacco puts, it's weird. People can look it up. It sounds crazy. But I had, during Fukushima, I'd already quit smoking. So it's over a year now. But I had nuclear physicist Dr. Bob Bowman on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, don't worry too much about Fukushima. They're getting a lot of radiation. But what we get is less than somebody that smokes cigarettes for a few years. He goes, you know, you get all these rads off of smoking. And I went and I thought, that's crazy. So I'm looking it up. And I didn't know it was like well known. Wow. That tobacco, I guess. Oh, but side issue. Go ahead to the next point.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating.
We're obviously going to get through 50. Let's do 20.
We'll do
25 tomorrow.
No, okay, we'll just.
What's the next one?
This one is actually a more complex question. It says, allied governments are covering up non-HIV cases. And this girl, actually, her name is Kayla, and she says, like mine. Under the chronic fatigue syndrome, and how can HIV deemed to cause AIDS when there are millions of non-HIV AIDS cases? And I actually researched a little bit of this on my own. In 1993, the CBC actually said that if your T cell count is less than 200, then you have HIV. And so it skyrocketed those number of cases. So, I mean...
Yeah, you don't have the virus, but you have an autoimmune disorder.
Right.
Which is actually things they've done through different vaccines, foods, and things. They're actually engineering it, and it's a very complex issue. And then HIV is really the cover for other bioweapons they're running in Africa. I mean, why is it... the BBC even had to admit like a decade ago that they went and checked all these women, the young women that had... HIV and they checked them and they had never had intercourse. So how did they have HIV? And they said, well, it must have been dirty needles in the vaccine process. So how is it that someone in the West can have hundreds of partners and not get it, but people that haven't ever had any partners, and they say, oh, they're having a lot of sex over in Africa. No. They're shooting them up with it. And then with it is a trace virus, HIV, which they're always claiming is changing. It's just the covered excuse for bioweapons operations that are going on. So it's a very sophisticated topic.
Yeah. Something about it expanded to like pneumonia, like all the STDs. I mean, it was like a huge, huge situation. That'd be an interesting one.
It's just a general cover name. And then Big Pharma sells a bunch of drugs to people that are like chemo drugs that kill them.
Yeah, AZT was actually like the number one causing killer for liver. Like your liver would fail if you took AZT back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry, side note. this is actually kind of a combination of questions, but it's along the same topic. It's from Blade Runner and Authoritarian Hater. So when I tell sheeple about aspartame and smart meters, they all look at me like I'm nuts. So their answer to my aspartame warning is, yeah, right, I feel fine. I don't have rashes, headaches, etc. So how do I explain it? The same with the smart meters. They don't believe me and they say so, and then they tell me to prove it. And it seems to me like they just want to contradict the idea that it's so out there.
Sure. They've been given hypnotic programming. This is on record through the television. They're in a near dreamlike state. When you upset them out of their trance state, they get upset and say, prove it. And even if you prove it, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, it's admitted aspartame is causing all these medical problems. It's not debated. Back in the 80s when they approved it, they knew that. It's not debated there's a world government, but they'll still laugh at you and say it doesn't exist, even though it's in the newspapers. And people like that are just damaged goods. You got to move on past them.
So when I tell sheeple about aspartame and smart meters, they all look at me like I'm nuts. So their answer to my aspartame warning is, yeah, right, I feel fine. I don't have rashes, headaches, etc. So how do I explain it? The same with the smart meters. They don't believe me, and they say so, and then they tell me to prove it. And it seems to me like they just want to contradict the idea that it's so out there.
Sure, sure. They've been given hypnotic programming. This is on record through the television. They're in a near dreamlike state. When you upset them out of their trance state, they get upset and say, prove it, prove it. And even if you prove it, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, it's admitted aspartame is causing all these medical problems. It's not debated. Back in the 80s when they approved it, they knew that. It's not debated there's a world government, but they'll still laugh at you and say it doesn't exist, even though it's in the newspapers. And people like that are just damaged goods. You got to move on past them because they're so afraid at a subconscious level, and they've been so programmed, they're going to put up a defense. It's like an obsessive, compulsive thing. And a lot of them think you're showing off when you try to warn them, because they would never try to warn anybody. They've got such a low self-image that they don't care about warning others. So they think you're showing off to them and like they're pathetic.
Right.
And it's also a childlike delusional, you know, where they think if they deny something, magically it goes away. So there's a lot of psychological things, and they are sad little victims that we got to triage them. We try to warn them. Don't feel bad when they attack you. Move on to the next zombie. Because some zombies have not succumbed to the full zombiosis yet. Okay, and so you just have to move on from that person to the next person. Okay, this one I can't help. I've got to move on.
That's awesome. Yeah, keep moving forward. I like that.
But it's not just zombies. Then there's vampire control agents, to use a popular term. You know, to use something popular. You know, who are like into the evil. They know something's going on, like Maz Deflame. They want to serve it, as like Renfield, as if they're going to get out of it by doing that. And they know they can manipulate. They know the public's asleep, and they're swimming around like a, you know, vampire eel around the unconscious person, going, don't wake them up, you know, like a little bulldog swimming around them, loving the fact that they're on, and they can program them, getting off on the power that they have a sleeping person they can manipulate. You understand that?
So many sci-fi movies just popped into my head right now.
Well, I mean, there's so many levels to this, but there's a lot of yuppies and people that are into the, like, oh, I can make money and be powerful in the system, but they're asleep at another level as well. Right. It's only master, you know, social engineer level that has the whole image in their mind.
It's a desire for truth that I think people are truly scared of. All right, so this comes from Jisk. He actually wrote an accompanying article for it. I'll reference it here in a second. He says, have you looked into Leo Wanta and these trillions of dollars?
Yeah, not true. Him? Not real.
It's not true.
Not true. Not
okay.
real.
Mm. Well, there you go. There you have it.
I mean,
yeah,
it's not as real as the Easter Bunny. I mean, you know, it's not as real. I love talking about Easter Bunny. That's a little joke.
You always make me giggle when you say that.
I know, whatever. I overdo it. The point is, it's so ridiculous. It's as real as those Nigerian letters you get in the mail.
Okay, the scamish idea.
Well, maybe they're real. I mean, I've had people call me up and go, hey, I got this Nigerian letter. They're offering me $1 million. I pay them $5,000. They want to believe their ship's come in.
Yeah.
And I go, no, that's about a 10-year-old internet scam. It's not real. And I've had family, distant family say, no, my million is here. I'm sending my $5,000. And then you send your $5,000 and then you get the email back going, oh, that wasn't quite enough. $5,000 more is needed. And sometimes they do 4 or 5 payments. And you know who they're angry at after they get ripped off?
You, for telling them the truth.
They're not angry at the Nigerian scammer because they always get an email that Prince Habib got arrested.
Of course.
I mean, it wasn't that he couldn't pay. Prince Habib got arrested. People, once they're getting scammed, they just get deeper and deeper into the fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they want. It's what they get.
This next one comes to you from John, and he says, Alex, did you know that in the big re-education camp PDF that you discovered weeks ago, there was a section where they talk about the Army squatting community centers? Can you clarify what a FEMA DRC, Disaster Recovery Center, actually is? There's actually one located near me.
Well, again, there are real disasters. There's real reasons for this. So they kind of cluster real issues of hurricanes, earthquakes within it. That's part of it. And then it just has takeover of local government, gun confiscation. It's all, so there's some legitimate functions, and that's how they always sell it. Kind of like the Army does Jaws of Life for car wrecks. Like, well, are you against the Army being here? They're just helping this poor man.
Yeah.
Are you against the Air Force spraying mosquitoes in Florida? That's our military getting the job done. So there's just this mission creep where it's just an acclamation, and they do things that they think are going to be popular up front. So the troops feel good being in the community. Right. The troops being brainwashed, too. So it's just a conditioning process for the police, the military, the public. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, this next one actually comes to you from Freedom Angel. What do you know about Project Athena? How come Catherine Albrecht never talked about it, being from MIT, as she had some dealings with them?
I have no idea. You'll have to look into this. I have.
We'll star that question.
Yeah, I have not. I might as well ask me about Lucky Charms or something.
Sometimes they jump over the rainbow.
Yeah, no, I mean, all that was Greek.
All right. Well, this next one comes to you from Tori, and she says, why do some states like Texas have state guards, and how powerful are they in relation to the police departments, the regular military?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, you kind of touched on that today in today's show. I heard you say something about state police or something to that effect. So,
well, I mean, I'm actually trying to work on a piece on this. It's funny that they asked that question. That's the original vestigial shadow of the state militia. Because all the state militia was, they demonized the news, was a posse or a civil defense. So that if the sheriff, who's elected, needs a group of people for fires or for whatever, he can go around and find out, or she can go around and find out whoever they think's good and whoever's willing to get something done. Hey, you know, you got bulldozers. There's fires coming this way. Get over here. You know, get on the radio. Get on local radio, TV. Back in the old days, you know, ride on your horse. Hey, get down here. We need help. You know, get your buckets. The town's on fire. And so states have guards, and then they also have the National Guard. Originally, it was state guards, and they set up National Guard. It was under the governors. Now they basically federalize those where they're federal, so they're even getting rid of the state having its, quote, National Guard. And so it's really what's left of the militia.
Awesome. That's actually really informative. The Mitzier E is this user. What do you think about Romney saying no congressional approval needed to bomb Iran? And he's not alone in saying that.
Hey, he likes Obama's health care. You know, saying he says he's against it, but he helped write it. But we got to do what the Supreme Court said, and the IRS taxing us isn't a tax. And it's a standard NDAA. He supports secret arrest, drone killing, endless war, warrantless wiretappings, open borders, carbon taxes. He's bought and paid for by the exact same people. Bain's given double the money that he's part owner of and used to head to Obama than they even gave him. Mitt Romney. So, I mean, Mitt Romney it's just, the fix is in. If they don't steal the election, they don't need to. Yeah. They got Mitt Romney. They win whether they steal it, whether Obama gets in, whether it's Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney might as well be, I got an idea. How about Mitt Romney be VP for Obama? You know, Joe Biden can get out of there, and we'll just, I mean, it's just, but it's like, but we're beating Obama. We're going to get Mitt Romney in there.
Yeah, of course. Did you see that cartoon we had on InfoWars today? It was the sheep, and it was like, whichever way you choose, and it all funneled into the same place.
I didn't see it, but yeah.
It's into that. Vaughn comes to you, and he asks, Alex, I'm curious to get your take on the inevitable emerging cloning technology and the implications on society.
Well, clones have inherent genetic problems, and it's all part of humanity playing God. Just like an iPhone has tech built into it that you pay for when you buy it to spy on you, the globalists have said with their medical tyranny that they're not going to give us any, you know, like they sterilize us, but then come and say we have a technology so you can have a child.
Right.
But then they're going to get rid of traits that are bad in the child. That means build into it what they want. And so this whole thing is a medical mad scientist tyranny, and it's strap yourselves in. We're going to see some very, very crazy times, but we should do a whole special on cloning because we're already eating clone meat, milk from clone cows. They're doing cross species, weird clones. I mean, the sky's the limit. We're living in this planet is like a giant biological weapons experiment or something.
Yeah. You don't know what's real anymore. Glitch says, as a child, I read Prisoners of Power. It's a sci-fi book written by a Russian duo. And the brothers back in the night, they wrote it in the 1960s. Since then, I've read the book many times, discovering new aspects of the world that they painted. In 2010 and 2011, the biggest sci-fi movie ever made in Russia came out in two parts. The name of the movie was Inhabited Island. And essentially, the story parallels many of today's trends. So probably some of the most notable of them are radiation towers affecting people's minds, propaganda, brainwash, etc. So I'm not... Sorry, I kind of lost my question. Can we find other articles that are like that? Is there any other like sci-fi movie or anything else that you've seen? I've noticed articles that, you know, we see a cartoon that it's painted the future, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, all these movies and culture show a dystopia. It's like, just get ready for it. That's what happens. In the future, the government says how many kids you can have. In the future, you're going to be watched and controlled because eugenicists developed most of the modern technologies we have. They steered them. They controlled them. Robber barons and royalty believed in all this, so they've built the culture we're in, and this is the world they're taking us to. I haven't seen that film or read that book, but it sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll follow up with that, too. Everyone, this is from Freedom Spear, and he says, everyone knows that having preventative medicine, surgery, and dental work, whatever, is not an inalienable right. And we actually touched on that in one of the last Ask Alex segments. Moreover, passing a law that mandates purchasing such services, products, anything else is completely unconstitutional and very illegal. We've covered it. What organization or enforcement arm has the authority to arrest the Supreme Court justices responsible for this illegal activity?
Congress can defund them. Congress, it's not really a separation of powers the way we've been taught. Congress is dominant. Then there's the courts. Then there's the executive. So there's a separation of powers, but because Congress is 500 plus people, it's got the real power. And that's why the globalists have sold it out and gotten it to be weakened and transferred into 9 justices they can control and 1 president and then a bureaucracy. But it's up to the states to nullify and not follow and fight. And it's up to us individually, because it's not like they're trying to give free health care to people that others pay for. It's these are eugenicists. Tyrants that are now using this to control people. So that's the main issue with the healthcare takeover.
The next one is from Thomas, and he says,
"If what's the bottom one? We'll do this page. We'll do the other half tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We'll do the 24. That's just about half.
We're at, yeah. We'll finish this page.
I said I'd do 50, but my goodness gracious.
I know. You're
hey, I'm moving
though.
Quick, though.
I'm very impressed. We should
feel like I'm being interrogated, though.
Where's the light? Right over your head. If you don't, this is from Thomas, and he says, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it, which I think is valid. My question is, you started talking about Vietnam, Yugoslavian wars, etc., and what was the real cause, I was wondering. And I understood the breaking news about the New World Order every day, but I would love to hear a history lesson from your perspective. So.
Well, I mean, it's not that the communists in Vietnam were good guys. Ho Chi Minh came to the CIA and the U.S. government and said, I want to set up a system with you, a free system. And they said, no, we're going to have the corrupt narcotics traffickers in the South still run things. We're going to prop up, you know, the Indochina French model. And so they turned against us. And the CIA staged bombings to blame the North to get the war going and put advisors in 1960, really 59. And the rest is history. But it doesn't mean, you know, the communist, Chinese then backing the northern Vietnamese, that doesn't mean they're good. It's like, just because our government's corrupt doesn't mean Iran's good. It's like corruption across the board. As for Yugoslavia, I mean, you have Tito, who was a balancing force. They get rid of him. They break it up. They engage in the bombing of Belgrade with the depleted uranium. I mean, it's all just about destroying nation states that the bankers don't control. And as bad as Assad is in Syria or Gaddafi was in Libya, they're putting something far worse in. So when you hear about, oh, freedom fighters are just trying to protest, it's Al-Qaeda blowing up police stations and lining up black people in Libya and shooting them. And the media is like, oh, this guy might have said a word. We better fire him. But, oh, you're lining up blacks and shooting them? Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And Bill Gates has a shot for the little black child. George Bush is hugging one. The child's crying. You know, it's all just an AFRICOM invasion PR.
Yeah, they've done actually studies where the government has proven that, you know, they had this skepticism of advertising working, and I studied a case study in college on it, and it was basically they went in with the idea that it doesn't work, but obviously they know it works, and that, you know, they show Bill, like George Bush with little children, like you said, and things of that nature. Anyways, side note.
But imagine how ridiculous it would be.
It's a Christie rant, you know.
If I had a black child come in here and then shot a thing with me going, I mean, people will be like, my God, Alex, this is ridiculous. But then it's George Bush and the photos everywhere. Meanwhile, AFRICOM is running in, just slaughtering everybody, arming the dictators. And they're doing it in North Africa and South Africa, you know, thousands of miles from Kony, who hadn't been seen in 5 years. And they admit, oh, yeah, it's transparent. I mean, it's just like,
Right.
I mean, the UN is in Africa, in Uganda, where they're talking about Kony, on record lining up people and killing whole villages to take their property. And you go tell a trendy, they're like, look, dude, I got tattoos. I got all this. I'm like, okay, I don't care if you got tattoos. I'm not against those. They're like, look, I'm dressed trendy. Don't tell me Kony's not cool. And I'm like, but it's slaughtering people. And they go, dude, your hair does not look like mine right now. And I'm just like, okay, I understand you're super trendy and everything, but, you know, I mean, come on. And it's just like, and they're like, look, I choose to believe we're helping Africa. And I'm just like, okay. They're like, be quiet, racist.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, all right. I mean, it's buying into the delusion. It's like, I'm a winner. I buy into the propaganda.
The next question comes to you from Husband and Dad. That's the username. Alex, you present yourself extremely well as a benchmark of civil disobedience. And there are a large number of activists that would do better if they were just a bit more civil. So could you, in your own words, define civil disobedience?
Well, I don't think I'm the benchmark of anything, really. But maybe alternative media success, but that's just because a lot of people aren't trying. Civil disobedience just means you're not Molotov cocktailing the police station. Instead, you're saying no to things that are clearly wrong and kind of peacefully sabotaging the system and putting yourself against the machinery.
Very succinct. I like that. Charles asks you, he says, Alex, my question is, could we abolish the Fed without the government's help, or is it impossible?
Yes, just like people are abolishing GMO foods by demanding organic.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it's perfect, but there's a process there, voting with dollars. That's why they want to get a tyranny in, because they're scared if we just vote with our dollars and our actions and the little things we do, it's over for them. It's game over.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, if everybody started doing more barter, that's why they're attacking all these little farms and Amish and these community co-ops and things. It really scares them. Getting back to old-fashioned activities in any way. Women, men, learning how to make their own clothes. That's one of the biggest things scares the system. I said that because you said your mom made that, yeah. That nice coat you got. A jacket, a work sports jacket, whatever you call it. I mean, they're really scared of that. Just the idea of little things cuts into their monopoly. That's what they're like. Picture the New World Order is this giant box store that basically resorbs you or absorbs you. So what was the question?
It was how to be civil disobedient.
Yeah, that's it. Just.
Oh, no, that was the last question. I'm so sorry. Destroying the Fed without intervention from the government.
You just criticize it. You expose it as a private fraud, that it's the biggest welfare recipient, that it's taken over our country and the world, that they brag they've conquered us. Look how arrogant they are.
Disobedient.
Yeah, that's it. Just.
Oh, no, that was the last question. I'm so sorry. Destroying the Fed without intervention from the government.
You just criticize it. You expose it as a private fraud, that it's the biggest welfare recipient, that it's taken over our country and the world, that they brag they've conquered us. Look how arrogant they are. And using local alternative currencies, they've got all sorts of them in all over the country, all over the world. And just realizing they're the enemy. You know, Obama comes, politicians come and go, but still the big fat bankers are sitting there.
I like that. Barter. Well, that's the civil rights movement was a huge part of that. They withdrew from riding the buses and then they started.
Well, exactly. And cab drivers. Also supporting local businesses. And it doesn't mean you're a purist, because you can't be. I mean, you can't buy a locally made Electro Voice microphone. I think that's made in Germany or Japan. I mean, this is made in Germany.
Mm.
You and nothing against the Germans. This is actually a quality product. We actually hire some workers that actually, you know, get something out of it, which is good. They put back in the economy. But buying local really does do something.
Or bartering. Anders asks, howdy, Alex. I like that's very Texas of you, Anders. If fractional reserve banking would be replaced by another system, what would it be replaced with? For example, an interest-free monetary system, would that work in practice?
We debated that. It could be interest-free from state banks. I don't know about a federal bank because that can always get taken over. But we've had state banks. They've had some big successes with that. And that's what we talked about in the first question, or one of the first, was this issue of people go, well, you've got Tarpley on who's for an interest-free, you know, system, but by a big federal bank, the Hamiltonian model. And then you got Ron Paul on over here who is, you know, talking about gold or silver backed. So you can't, any of these systems can be manipulated and gamed. It's mainly about a debate and monetary, people being informed monetarily so that the system, because they can corrupt any system. But if the people are informed about monetary systems, that gives a leg up against it.
Knowledge is where you start, and then it's action from there that's leading to. Warwick asks, Alex, mainstream media is now openly reporting horrific things such as the idea of afterbirth abortion, thousands of elderly people being intentionally killed. Is this mainstream news? Is this ultimately, he's asking, is this showing that we're winning? Like they're actually reporting on something that we find to be true, or are they just kind of throwing us a bone?
I used to think that all this stuff coming out was victories. And a lot of it, and it's a mixed bag. Sometimes a reporter gets it through, an editor says it's the right thing to do. And I know in the last decade, that last 5 or 6 years, that really started where people went out and did real reporting. Their boss backed them because maybe the newspaper editor's New World Order, but now their kid's autistic. They figure out this is important. Mm-hmm. They allow it out. So more and more people started getting the truth out. So the system kind of just went, okay, yeah, we're going to kill old people. What's the big deal? Yeah, we're going to kill kids up to age 3 if we want. So it's people telling the truth and hitting the barbed wire to get the truth out. Oh, that is a victory. But there's also a lot of just acclimating. Oh, you want the truth to come out. Yeah, open the floodgates. And suddenly in hundreds of papers, we're run by foreign banks. We're your slaves. You've been conquered by world government. There's nothing you can do about it. So see, it's kind of like the system's gone from denying all this because they realized people weren't listening to them. It was discrediting them, denying things. So they've kind of just gone to a now open the floodgates. Oh, you think there's some tyranny? Yeah, this is what you didn't know was going on. What are you going to do about that?